Welcome to Noah's Here. As most of you know, two of my favorite topics in life are Jesus and sports. And this week, I'm excited to have with me today that somebody over the past 15 years, I spent a lot of time talking about these two topics of Jesus and sports. And you're really going to be blessed over the next couple of days as I talk with my good friend, Max Apple. Little background on Max, not a stranger to a lot of you in Central Kentucky, but Max was born in Western Kentucky, and he's husband to Trish and has five children and eight grandchildren. He was on staff with Kentucky Special Olympics for 10 years and was called to ministry with the Fellowship of Christian Athletes, where he served for 12 years, which is how I got to know Max. And then he retired from being on staff at Southland Christian for 13 years. However, Max is such a talented guy and has such great energy and such a wonderful heart that several people reached out during that retirement season, and he actually accepted one of those opportunities and recently joined the team at First Southern National Bank as their corporate chaplain. Last but not least, though, Max has served as a volunteer chaplain for the UK men's basketball team for 28 years. So today and the next couple of days, you're going to hear from a guy that really loves Jesus and loves people. I'm thankful for his loyal friendship and honored to have him today on Hope Is Here. Max, thanks so much, man, for being with us.
Greg, it's great to be here, man. I appreciate you inviting me and love you a bunch. And as I was thinking this morning about us getting together, I was thinking about how you've impacted my life. And I see you as a Barnabas. Barnabas was a great encourager. We know that from Bible, the book of Acts. But Scripture also tells us a lot of people came to know Jesus because of Barnabas. And you're that Barnabas in my life. And I want to thank you for that.
Well, feeling's very mutual. We have encouraged each other a lot through the years, but got to have a little fun with you, man. You've done all these great things, and you've got a precious wife, Trish, but after being retired for a year, you went back to work some. Did Trish cut your allowance, man?
Well, that was part of it, but little did we know a pandemic was going to hit during my retirement, so maybe I was in the house a little too much on that retirement, going from working full-time to now I'm, honey, what are you doing in there all day long? And so I wasn't real intentional about my ministry at that time because I couldn't visit hospitals. They wouldn't let me in jails or prisons, which I love to visit, because of the pandemic. So I was around the house a whole lot more than any wife should want their husband. So there was some transition there. So I think she was happy when I got out and got another job.
Well, I love what you're doing now, First Southern. Great stuff. But, like all of us, man, you have a story of how you came to faith, and that's one of the things that I know has helped a lot of men over the year. Share a little bit with our listeners about how you came into a personal relationship with Jesus.
Yeah, that's a great question. I wasn't really raised in a Christian home. We'd go to church for a while, and then we wouldn't go to church for a while. We'd go to an Episcopal church for a while, and then we wouldn't go, and then we'd go to a Methodist church for a while, and just hit or miss. And but when I moved to Princeton, Kentucky, a little town of 5,000 people, there was a tent revival coming. That's how old I am, Greg. We had tent revivals back in the day. But I was invited to come to this tent revival by one of my buddies. And you've heard this by many men, but this is true in my life also, is that I didn't want to go to the revival, except I heard that's where all the pretty girls were going to be. True story. So I went Monday night and Tuesday night and Wednesday night and didn't listen to the message, didn't pay attention. But Thursday night, God started working on my heart. Didn't know what it was really about, but I started listening. Friday night, I actually walked down the aisle and gave my life to the Lord. Didn't really know what that meant, but just surrendered. I just felt like I needed something in my life. Athletics had been my guide up to that point. And so for the next few weeks, I think I was probably in eighth grade, I tried to be a Christian on my own. You know, I tried to watch my language and watch how I treated people and stuff, but it didn't take me long to see all my buddies were right back. They were in the world, and it just didn't stick. And so I really got back in the world bad. Went to college at Western Kentucky University, joined a fraternity, and just was running pretty wild. And so then I met a man named Steele Harmon, and through the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. Now, I was working with Special Olympics at the time, but Steele is my spiritual hero here on earth. And he invited me to an FCA camp, and that's where Jesus Christ went from being my Savior, which I believe he had died on the cross for my sins, but I would not allow him to be the Lord of my life until I was on top of Black Mountain, standing there by myself, having a discussion with God. And I said, Lord, I've tried to be a good husband. I've tried to be a good father. I've tried to be a good Christian, but I don't have the joy that your word promises. I don't have the peace that I read about in Scripture. I quit. I give up on this thing called Christianity. And I didn't hear him audibly, Greg, but he spoke to my heart, and he said, good. good. Now let me do it. And that was the day Jesus Christ became the Lord of my life. You see, I'd wanted control of lust and greed. I wanted to give him some of that, but I didn't want to give him 100%. But that day on that mountain, I surrendered my future, my family, my finances. I surrendered everything to him. Now, I have to tell you that there are days when I try to take some of that control back, and God graciously and gently reminds me, said, Max, your very best thinking didn't get you very far. Let me have control of these areas. And when I surrender that daily die to self, my life radically changed. And so that's kind of where I got through FCA. I met a guy named Pistol Pete Maravich. I was speaking at Asbury. I was telling you earlier this morning, I got to remember, these kids don't remember Pistol Pete Maravich.
Pistol who?
I asked one of the students, I said, by the way, when were you born? 1996. Well, we were playing for a national championship at UK. This guy was just born in 96. So, but Pistol Pete Maravich had a tremendous impact on my life. And he had taught me, through Pete, God taught me that my definition of success was wrong. My definition was to have fame, fortune, power and prestige through athletics, because the world told me if I could accomplish and achieve those things, I'd be happy and successful. Pete had all those things, and he was miserable. And you've heard his story many times. But Pete's in the NBA Hall of Fame, first athlete to sign a $1 million contract. But he was miserable. So I was chasing the wrong definition of success, but until I met Pete Maravich. And now I like to go around and tell young people my definition of success now is Joshua chapter 1, verses 7 through 9, where God tells us, encourages us to meditate on his word night and day. Do not turn from it from the left to the right, and you will have success wherever you go. You think about Joshua taking over the leadership from Moses. Moses was a great leader. Here's Joshua, a young man. Now all of a sudden he's got control of this army. And God said, just meditate on my word night and day. I'll be with you everywhere you go. Every step of the way, I'll be with you. So that's the definition of success I hope people start chasing, because that changed my life.
One of the things in your story that's interesting to me is, you know, you're at Special Olympics and you need some volunteers to work with the other kids. So you contact Steele Harmon, a Fellowship of Christian Athletes, and so he invites you to that banquet. But, I mean, you didn't go because you were a good guy. Be honest. Why did you go?
Yeah, that's a great question. I didn't go to get spiritual encouragement. I wanted something. And I figured if Steele's going to let me use those FC athletes who were good guys and gals, I'm going to go barter. Okay, I'll attend your conference. I'll attend your meeting just because I want something from you. That's how selfish I was, to be honest with you. You picked up on that. But through that, you know how God can use that. Now, Steele modeled the servant leadership of Jesus Christ to me, and he still does to this day. So not only did I get to meet Pete, and not only did we get involved with Special Olympics and FCA, I got a mentor who lived the word. I could see him living it out daily, and I needed that. I needed to see that with my eyes, and Steele Harmon was that guy for me.
Well, and the reason I share that part is because, you know, so many times God shows up not by the way we planned it. Amen. And you just went because, like a lot of us, you know, yeah, I'm going to do this to help this person because I need some. We're all like that. And so, yet God ambushed you and showed up.
Amen.
And I think for somebody listening today, they need to know that, man. If you just, you know, you never know when God's going to show up, do you?
Amen. Good point. Good point. Yeah.
Well, talk to us a little bit. I mean, you know, you talked some there about the Savior and the Lord of your life. What are some of the things that you would say to people, you know, like I said, we do the check the box, I'm going to go to heaven card, I've accepted Jesus as my Savior, but, man, there's such a big difference when you make him Lord of your life, isn't it?
Big difference, yeah. And again, I did believe he died on the cross for my sins. I believed that with my whole heart. But again, I wouldn't let him be in control. So I would say to any listener that I'd just say, how's that working for you? You know, how's your very best thinking? Do you get the peace that you see in other people? Do you have the joy that the Bible promises? Not that adversity won't hit, but do you have peace in the storm? Do you realize that this is not our home? You know, it was not until I surrendered to the Lordship that I knew that he had a plan for me, a plan for prosperity, not calamity, a plan with a future and a hope. Now, that plan for prosperity to me was not financial. It was Galatians chapter 5. It was love, more love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, gentleness, and self-control. Greg, I really needed self-control. That was where I was out of control. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, it came into my life when I surrendered everything to him. And now he's walked with me for many, many years. So I'd say if you're torn, I understand where you are. I've been where you are. And man, Greg knows how to get hold of me. I'd love to help you on that journey.
Well, you definitely have helped a lot of people, and you know, it's been a blessing in my life. Max, what would you say to someone who's listening and, you know, they've kind of got one knee down, you know, hey, I believe in God, and, you know, I believe that Jesus, you know, came to die for my sins, and I want to be in heaven, but they're just having a little problem surrendering, putting both knees down. And as men, I mean, that's tough, you know, because we're taught, you know, suck it up, you know, pick yourself up by your bootstraps and all that. But what would you say to people listening today about how, even though I know surrender comes across as a weak word in our culture, man, when you surrender to Jesus, I mean, it changes everything, doesn't it?
Amen. And it takes, you know, that is a manly thing to do. Yeah, I agree with you. I think surrender was a term of weakness. I mean, especially as an athlete, you don't surrender anything, man. You give it your all, and you never surrender. You never let your opponent know when you're struggling. And so I think we have to put our pride to the side, us men especially. I think women do a better job of open, transparent communication than I know I did. So I think transparency is a key. I think I mentioned it, daily dying to self, and then daily obedience. I'm going to obey somebody. For a long time, it was me. I was the Lord. I was sitting on the throne. I didn't have room for God on my throne, so it was me I was obeying. Then I would obey society. If society said this was okay, I would go with that. And that was all wrong, Greg. So I think, who am I going to obey? You know, and how's that got me so far? I think my biggest thing for men and women is our identity. It wasn't until I really got into Romans chapters 1-8. That's my foundation. I'm not saying that's for everybody. That was my foundation for my spiritual growth, was Romans 1-8, because it taught me that my identity did not come from my accomplishments and my achievements. My identity did not come from my possessions. My identity did not come from my education. Now, my wife's a teacher. I got to be careful here. But we go into the inner city, Greg, and we'll tell young people, just get an education. That's the key to success. I think education is very, very important, but I don't think it's the key to success. But the one I fell for most when I was younger is the world told me that my identity, my value came from the acceptance and the approval of others. Mm-hmm. I had low self-esteem. I was voted president of my class in high school. I was voted the most popular senior boy, played 4 sports, but I had low self-esteem, man. Mm-hmm. So if a group was fighting, I'd go fight. If they were drinking alcohol, I'd drink alcohol. If they were stealing, I would steal. If they were praying, I'd pray. Man, it didn't matter what the group was doing. Man, I just wanted to belong because I thought my identity would be found in those groups. Your identity, Greg, and my identity comes from what happened on a cross over 2,000 years ago. Our identity comes from being a child of God. And I think we need to claim that in the good times, and we got to cling to that in the tough times. So I think let's look at our true identity, and let's get that definition straight first, and then we can move on to a more personal, more passionate, more intimate relationship with Jesus Christ.
Amen and amen. If you just tuned in, we are talking with Max Apple, and Max has been a longtime friend of mine. A lot of you may recognize his name from serving with Fellowship of Christian Athletes for 12 years, and then he was on staff at Southland Christian for 13 years. Recently, he is joined the team at Southern National Bank, and he is their corporate chaplain. But Max is going to be with us for a couple more programs, so I hope that you'll join us. We're going to talk some about the impact that we can see God work in athletics, both through the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. He's also served as the volunteer chaplain for UK men's basketball for 28 years. And then we're going to be looking on Wednesday, looking at just helping the least of these. And Max has been involved in some really just great ministries, helped him get started and serves as a volunteer on boards and as a volunteer in many areas. A lot of great nonprofits providing hope to a lot in Central Kentucky. So I hope you invite somebody to join us again tomorrow as we continue our conversation with Max Apple on Hope Is Here.
If you have been blessed by Hope Is Here, would you consider making a donation to help this ministry continue to reach thousands in Central Kentucky every day? It's simple and safe. Go to our website at hopeishere.today, where you can make a safe and secure online donation, or you can find our address to mail a check. All donations are tax deductible and they are greatly appreciated. Please make your donation today at hopeishere.today. Again, that's hopeishere.today.